The Westgate Mall in Nairobi, Kenya reopens tomorrow, nearly 2 years after 67 people were killed there. Gunmen from the Somali militant group Al-Shabaab entered the mall and started shooting in September of 2013. In a few minutes, we'll go to Kenya for an update, but first, let's remember exactly what happened. Last September, we spoke with filmmaker Dan Reed about his HBO documentary Terror at the Mall. He used footage shot by security cameras to tell the story.
You know, it was 12:30. It was lunchtime. People were just starting to sit down for lunch. People were there with their families. You know, Westgate Mall was a real hangout and a real cross-section of people from Nairobi, from your expatriates, your UN types, to the local Asian, you know, prosperous Asian community, to African Kenyans who'd come there. Nice shops full of, you know, international brands. And it was a busy place.
It looked just like a mall you would see in the United States.
It looked exactly like a mall you'd see in the United States or in the UK. Once you were inside the mall, you were in a different world. You weren't really in Africa anymore. You were what we think of as Africa. I mean, you were in that sort of international space, mall world or mall land. And suddenly into this, you know, benign environment burst four young Somali gunmen whose mission it was to kill as many people as possible in as short a time as possible.
And as that was happening, all of the people in the mall are fleeing and trying to take cover wherever they can. It's amazing, some of the video that you see in this film of people trying to crawl under tables, or eight people stashed underneath a kiosk in the middle of the mall.
Yeah. I mean, one of the really striking things about the footage was this moment of transition from normality to crisis. And it happens in less than a split second.
And I personally have never, thank goodness, seen anybody be shot or heard anyone get shot. But in this, you hear people talk about what that sounds like when it happens. We always see it on television and you hear the sound of that. But listen to this. This is the voice of someone who survived on the rooftop of the mall.
As they shot, you could hear the sound of the bullet thud into someone. The sound of the bullet going into flesh. It's like nothing you've ever heard.
It feels like somebody's being thumped, you know? And then they just drop.
And the incredible thing there, Dan, is that these people who are going through this incredibly traumatic experience are able to keep their wits about them and continue to try to survive this event.
Yeah, and in particular, I mean, it is striking to me that the women who were there with their children seemed to have, their reflexes seemed even more acute. Their minds were kind of switched to that survival mode. You know, we tell two really extraordinary stories about groups of people. One of the women, Amber, whose story is absolutely incredible, she ends up walking out of the mall.
Yeah.
A terrorist released her.
And you watch Amber walk out of the mall on video. It's incredible. After she's just been let go with her kids by the terrorists, you see her walk there with a shopping cart down through the center of the mall at a steady pace and leave. And we also hear her talk in the film about something incredible that happened after she had been hiding for more than an hour.
The terrorists had actually given them chocolate bars. You know, it's like they were trying to appease the children and explaining to them what they were doing and why they were doing it, and kept saying that we're not monsters. Here, have a chocolate.
What did you learn about these terrorists in the making of this film?
I found myself wondering for a long time who these boys were and what had made it possible for them to walk into such a crowded place and just start killing without hesitation. The clip you've just played and the moment when the terrorists start asking for forgiveness and giving Amber's children these candy bars, I think that decision to release people was the result of an instruction they had over the phone from their masters, their handlers in Somalia. So there's a kind of change of policy. But at the same time, what it did was to, what the situation brought out was the kind of basic humanity, I suppose, of these boys who are just like, well, yeah, sorry, nothing personal. You know, we came here to kill Christians and Kenyans, and now we're letting you guys go. And you know, really sorry about that. It's kind of not personal. It's part of a bigger, some kind of bigger conflict.
That's our conversation with Dan Reed, who directed the HBO film Terror at the Mall.